Okay, today's shiur is going to be about a topic, as you see the title, maximal and minimal ways of doing mitzvos. So what does that have to do with us? We mentioned it 2 days ago in the daf, and related to Zvachim Daf Lamed Tes. Let's review where it connected to, and we'll expand upon it, and hopefully delve a little deeper where the idea comes from. The Gemara in Zvachim Daf Lamed Tes told us that when the whole first couple of prakim, as we know, is talks about and discusses problematic thoughts that a Kohen has during the Avodah. And the third parak, the fourth parak, a lot of what is discussed there is the machshava of pigel, the machshava of a thought in an earlier part of the Avodah that I'm going to do something later in the Avodah beyond the requisite time. Chutz l'zmano, right, I think during Shechita that I'm going to sprinkle the blood after the proper time. Or I think during the Zrika that I'm going to burn the fats. Or I think during the Zrika that I'm going to eat it out of the proper time. So there's a lot of press that Pigel gets in Meseches Zvachim. So the Gemara says in Zvachim Lamed Tes, in source number one, Yatsu Shirayim v'haktaras emurin she'ein ma'akven es hakapara she'ein machshava mo'elos mahen. The Gemara seems to say a principle that only during an avoda that is ma'akev the kapara, an avoda that if you don't do it, you don't get the kapara of the karbon. Only during that type of significant avoda do we say that a machshava, during that avoda, that's a significant machshava, to pasul the karbon. But, for example, during shvicha shirayim, the leftover blood that's left in the cup after I did the proper zrikas, I have a mitzvah to spill that on the yisod, the base of the mizbeach, that's just, if there is, you spill it. That's not a real avoda. If you don't do that, it's not ma'akev anything. So if you have a machshava during that type of avoda, that's not ma'akev the kapara. Right, that's the Gemara seems to say a rule. Whatever is a significant avoda, it's ma'akiv the kapara. So if you have a problematic thought during that time, so then that causes trouble for the karban, but if not, not. The problem we mentioned was that there seemed to be some exceptions to the rule that poke some holes in the rule. For example, in the source number two I gave you from the Biuri Adaf, a wonderful compilation on the Gemara, he quotes three questions. Three cases, three examples in Kanshim where there's an act that you don't need to do, but even though you don't need to do it, if you do it, a thought during that avoda or part of that avoda can be significant. So that seems to break the rule. What are the three examples? I underline them. Source where it says number one, Shanir Lamala. Hashochi Tsurakshi Kabbalah is called Damo Shalpar. Lechadchila, the Kohen, when he accepts the blood, Kabbalah Sadam, he's supposed to be able to be Makabel all the lifeblood of the cow. Not all the blood, the blood that's kosher for Zrika, which means all the blood that comes out as the cow's life is being taken from it. So,
he has to catch all of it.
All the lifeblood. Again, once the animal's dead, then the blood left in his dam tamsis, as we had, and that's not kosher for zrika. But that's lechadchila. V'kasu harishonim she'ein ze'el lemitzvah. That's only lechadchila. Bidi eved im lo kibel eskol adam. If I only caught enough blood in order to do the zrikas with, then it would still be kosher. And yet we say v'kasu gedoli achronim. He quotes from the Kiryat Sefer here. She'yachol afagel gam la'acher she'kibel k'dei shirazah. Let's say I have enough in my cup to do the sprinkling. That's all I need to do. But I had a pigle thought in the extra dam that I caught. That pigle thought is still significant. It could pass the carbon. 1 minute. You didn't have to even do that. You didn't have to do that part of the catching. I thought the Gemara said only what is needed, only an avoda that's ma'akev, is a problematic thought. During that avoda, does it cause problems and pass the carbon? Here, you don't need to do this. It's lachadchila. If you didn't do it, the carbon still works. And yet we say that pigo can still be significant. You can have a problematic thought. Problem one. Problem two, a second example, he quotes from the Achiezer of Chaim Ozer, Shuvazaz Achiezer Yatza Ladun. What about, we know, Shechita, the avoda of Shechita, it requires Shechita's Rov Simanim. You have to check the Rov of the two Simanim of the animal. There's a big discussion in the Achronim, what about Miut Basra? In Meseches Chulin, the Gemara talks about it regarding Chulin animals. Right, Hilcha Shechita, you have to check the majority of the Simanim. What if the Shochet messes up in the last part of the second siman? That's called Mir Basra. Right, if he messes up for chulin, let's say, and there's forget kachim. So that's a big discussion in Mir Basra. If he does a psul shchita, the animal's already kosher. Could you mess it up after you've already kashered it? But the question here is, what about kachim? Ask the Afiezer. Let's say I shechted the animal, but I continue shechting both simonim, the windpipe and the food pipe. I go straight through, and I have a pigo foot during that extra that I didn't even have to shecht. Says the Afiezer, that also might be able to cause problems. What do you mean? You didn't have to do it. Didn't the Gemara lay down the rule that only in Avoda that is significant, that if you didn't do it, the carbon wouldn't work, you wouldn't be able to get kapara. Only during those type of Avodos does a machshava, a problematic machshava, cause problems. And yet here, again, a second example we have of an exception to that rule. And finally, a third, and then we'll get into laying out the groundwork for our discussion tonight. The third is the sheet of the Rambam, where it says, Oz Gimel, three lines from the bottom, in source number two. Sheet is a Rambam he. She'im gam im holich es adam, shelo letzad mizbeach. What if I walked, for some reason, I took the long way to the Mizbeach? I'm on the east side of the Mizbeach, and I went north first. There was something over there I wanted to see. You know, I wanted to get a good view of the... I know, good view of something. So I walked one way, and I walked the other way. So if I walked in the wrong direction, and during that time that I'm walking in the wrong direction, I had a piggle thought. I thought that I'm going to do the zrika after its proper time. The Rambam seems to paskin, that's piggle. You didn't need to do that. So again, all three, during the shechita, during the Kabbalah Saddam, and during the shechita at the end, and the Rambam about halacha that you didn't need to do, in all these three cases, it seems to be that one could still have a thought that would passel the carbon. But what do you mean? The Gemara in Zvachim Daf Lamed Tes says that anything that you don't need to do for the carbon to be kosher, during that time, that a problematic thought, a machshava, lifsol, is not going to cause problems. That's the question that we laid out, and that is the problem that we have to deal with. So, what is the answer? So let's go on to a couple of other contexts first. One of them we mentioned in the shiur, and others are new that we did not mention there, where a similar question might be brought up, or an answer that answer those questions could also answer our question. Okay, let's go to Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah. Source number three. We know on Rosh Hashanah we blow 100 kolos. That is the minhag based on the Yerushalmi, 100 kolos. Why 100? So, the Medjur says it's connected to the mother of Sisera, who in Sefer Shoftim, we know, cried when her beloved son didn't come back. So she cried 100 cries, and therefore we blow 100 kolos. Not for now, the Bali Musa discuss, why do we care that the mother of such a Russia cried? You know, it's like the mother of Hitler cried when he was killed. That's what it's basically like. You know, Sisera was out to kill the Jewish people. You know, Rachmana Litzlan, why are we remembering Sisera? Okay, that's a good question, not for now. But, 100 kolos. What's the minimum number of kolos on Rosh Hashanah? Let's say somebody blows in a hospital. Let's say somebody's blowing for women who missed some of the tkiyas. How many do we blow? We blow 30. That's the minimum number. Why 30? Because the Gemara explains, we're not exactly sure what sound we're supposed to hear on Rosh Hashanah. We don't know. It says you're supposed to hear shofar. But what does that mean? Is it... the shofar is a crying sound. But that's all we know. Is it a groaning sound? Or is it a wailing sound? What's called ginuchi ganach or yulul yolil? Is it a groaning, a krechtsing? Right? As a shvarim is? Is that what we have to hear on Rosh Hashanah? Or are we supposed to hear a wailing sound? Somebody who's totally out of control. Right? Like a trua. You got to be a dramatist when you give shir, right? So you have to act out. So that's the question. We don't know what sound we're supposed to hear. We do, or maybe it's both. Maybe that's the two stages of crying. Usually we start groaning and then we end up being hysterical. Say we're supposed to hear both. It doesn't go in the opposite direction. We're not usually hysterical and then we start groaning. That's why there's no possibility of true or shvarim. But shvarim trua. So we don't know what to do. Are we supposed to hear a shvarim? Are we supposed to hear a trua? Are we supposed to hear a shvarim trua? And we have a misora that before any sound, we have to have a straight sound before and after. Tzkiyah before and after. So if you do the math, and one other point that I did not mention, the Gemara says the word trua three times in the Torah. Twice by Rosh Hashanah, once by Yovel of Yom Kippur. So put it all together. We're supposed to hear the shofar three times on Rosh Hashanah. But we don't know which one. And we know you're supposed to have a tekiah before and after. So we do all of them just in case. Shvarim, Trua, and Shvarim, Trua, with a tekiah before and after, and each one of those three times. That equals 30. 30 kolos. That's why the minimum number of kolos we have is 30. But then we added. We blow tkiyas de miyusha before Shmoneh Esrei. And we blow during Chazar Lashat. And we blow at the end of Kaddish. Ask the Rishonim the simple question of, does Nisa Daraisa call Bal Tosef? You're not allowed to add on to mitzvahs. Right? It's a whole issue. If somebody wants to sit in the sukkah, Shmidi Yetzera. So in Galos, fine, wonderful. Let's say somebody wants to sit in the sukkah on Shmidi Yetzera in Eretz Yisrael. It's an Issa Daraisa, Lushay Mitzvah. Bal Tosef, you want to sit in the sukkah, you got to passel your sukkah. Right? In order to show that it's not a mitzvah. So this is Bal Tosef, adding on. If I add on a string to my tzitzis, if I put an extra parsha in my tefillin. So you can't add on to mitzvahs. So what are we doing here? We're blowing shofar so many times. Why don't we violate Bal Tosef? It's a question of the Rishonim. Tosef asked that kasha. Source number three. So he asked Tosef, Tema. The Gemara there says, V'tokan Miriam Kshin Omdin, we blow shofar before Shmoneh Esrei. We blow shofar during Shmoneh Esrei. Tema. Haka'avar Mishum Bal Tosef. Right, I'm iron, I violating Bal Tosef. So how could I blow shofar so many times? Answers Tosef, skip a couple of lines. Line 7, V'yesh Lomar, De'ein Shayach Bal Tosef, Ba'asiyas Mitzvah Achas, Beis Pa'amim. Bal Tosef, you can never violate by doing a mitzvah more than once. Bal Tosef is when you add something to the object that you do the mitzvah with. For example. Right? Or you do the mitzvah when you're not supposed to do the mitzvah. But if I do the mitzvah more than I have to, let's say I shake a lulav all day. It's not a Bal Tosef. No Bal Tosef there. Kagon, im Kohen, im Mavarach, Mahoz Mavarach, Ozot Tzibur Atzmo. Let's say the Kohen, after he finishes Shalom, he says, oh, I want to do it again. Everybody's like, nobody knows what's going on, but he gives the bracha. Okay. Doesn't violate Bal Tosef. People just look at him in a strange way. Right? But doesn't violate Bal Tosef. Oh, notel lulav, v'chozer v'notel, v'chetokia v'chozer, v'chetokia. There's no problem about Tosef, says Tosef, by doing a mitzvah more than once. Yeah.
If you made a bracha,
Does he make a bracha? Okay, maybe he shouldn't make a bracha each time. Right, no, but if you have in mind, if you could do three pairs, if I were to shake two lulavs now, because I'm not sure which one is kosher or not, so then I can make one bracha for both. Right, so if Scheinberg makes one bracha before all the tzitzis. Right, that's, unless there was a hesach hadas in the middle. But that's Tosfos. Tosfos says there's no issur of Bal Tosef when it comes to doing a mitzvah more than once. Or, another answer given to that question is the Rashba. The Rashba on that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Speaking about brachos. So says the Rashba in Rosh Hashanah, a different answer. Mistabra, the bottom of the first column. Delo kasha klal, no problem. Delo amru hasam diikam ishum Bal Tosef, ela b'mashihu mosif, Midas Atzmo. Bal Tosef is when I personally decide to do something. I say, you know, I don't want to do this. Kagon, Kohen Shehosef Racham Ishalo. A Kohen that adds on a word. Right? You're right. Shalom and peace and Parnasa. He adds on a couple of words. If a Kohen makes that up, that's Bal Tosef. V'inami Yashli B'Shmini B'Sukkah Shemeskaven L'Mitzvah. If I sleep in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, the day after Sukkot. Something like that. Or I add on a zrika. Right, there's a Gemara in Zvachim later on. Avo b'masha amdu chachamim. V'tigru l'tzarech. Ein kan Bal Tosef. But if the rabbis made a rule, the chachamim said, this is the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar 100 times, there's no Bal Tosef there. The same Torah that says this is a Bal Tosef says the rabbis can do what they want. They can make up rules if they think the Chal Yisrael needs it. The Kfar Amra Torah, Pia Torah Shal Yerucha. According to the Torah, what the Torah says. V'teidu lecha, I'll prove it to you, says the Rashba. Tashmini shal sukkah bezman hazeh mitzvah shal devrayim. What do we do, says the Rashba, here in Svarad, here in Spain? We sit in the sukkah Shmini Atzeres. How the Rabbanan tell us to do that is Bal Tosef. Right, minog, I was saying to be a denu. What do you mean? Minog overrides Bal Tosef. The answer is, if it's a takana derabanan, takanas derabanan are not subject to the Isser of Bal Tosef. Alma kol l'tzarech gozrin u'mosifin v'arashus b'yadim. Hu adin v'chol baltigra l'tzarech v'chulu. Right, not telling you not to blow shofar when it falls out on Shabbos. That's the second answer. But maybe there's another answer. Maybe there's another answer that we could suggest, which we'll see soon. But first let's add on another question. So we have the question that we started off with about these avodos. Why, if I do a little extra shechita or a little extra kabbalah or a little extra halacha, that I could have a problematic thought, during that That part of Yavoda, I thought that if it's not needed, no thoughts or problems during that time. Number one. Number two, how can we blow so much shofar? Number three, source number five and six. If I were to ask you, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyashma. We all just did it. Right? The d'oraisa of Kriyashma. What is it, d'oraisa? How much of Kriyashma do we have to say on a d'oraisa level? So whatever you answer, you're correct. Because there are four sheetahs in the Rishonim. The Ramban, I didn't give it to you, it's one line in the Ramban. The Ramban says, first pasuk, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyashma is twice a day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Maybe Baruch Shem also. But Shema Yisrael. Rashi, first daf and shas, Rashi and Brachas Daveis, first parsha. Because Rashi seems to say that Kriyashma Lamita, you yotzi the mitzvah d'oraisa. If you daven Ma'ariv early, just say Kriyashma Lamita, which is the first parsha, Pashtus. So Rashi seems to say it's the first parsha. If you look in Tosfos there argues on Rashi in source number five, it can't be. It can't be just the first parsha. Tosfos seems to say implicitly, first two parshas. First of all, Kabbalas, Omach HaShemayim, and then Kabbalas Mitzvahs. So we got first parsha, second parsha, and then Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam says all three are part of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyashma. The Rambam says in Halacha Beis, in Hilchos Kriyashma, Umahu kore shlosha parshios elu hein shma v'haim shema v'yomer. And then he quotes the Mishnah in Brachas. You put shma first because it's Malchus Shemayim before all mitzvos, and then you put tzitzis last because it's only b'yom and not b'yom b'laila. The four shitas in the Rishonim. Just by the way, Derech Agav, the Rambam is a beautiful Lishitaso in that, if you look in all 613 of the Rambam, if you look in the 248 mitzvahs are saying, the Rambam does not count as a mitzvah, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Nowhere. Which is one of the mysteries of the Rambam. Where's Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right, there are many mitzvahs that are connected to that, but there's a separate mitzvah. Where is it? So it says Reb Chaim, it's a davar pashut. It's part of the mitzvah of Kriyashma. Because the Rambam says all three parshiyos are part of Kriyashma. Kriyashma includes the third parshiyos, tzitzis, Adiyashem Alkechem Asher Otzeis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim. That's part of the mitzvah of Kriyashma. Kabbalas, you can't be makabo Macha Shemayim if you don't remember that Hashem took you out of Egypt. So it's all part of one mitzvah. That's why the Rambam doesn't count it. But that's the shittas of Rambam. Sorry, four shittas in the Rishonim. There is a Gemara. There's a Gemara that's very difficult according to the shita of the Ramban. The Ramban who says only the first pasuk. Says the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yudal, source number seven. Are you allowed to be mafsik for some reason during Hallel or during the Megillah? Does he have to be mafsik for some reason? Do I have to talk for some reason? Are you allowed to? So they ask the Gemara. Amrinan Kalvachomer. Do we say on the one hand a Kalvachomer? Kriyashma d'oraisa posek. How old Rabbanim by? Well, if Kriyashma, which is a din d'oraisa, mitzvah d'oraisa, you could be mafsik during Kriyashma, then surely you can be mafsik during Hallel or Megillah, which is d'Rabbanan. This Gemara is also assuming Hallel is d'Rabbanan, which is also a topic in the Rishonim. But if Kriyashma, let's focus on Kriyashma, if Kriyashma is d'oraisa, you could be mafsik, right? The Mishnah describes if a king is walking by, if a rabbi is walking by, so surely Hallel, which is d'Rabbanan. Oh, Dilma, or do we say no? Persume Nisa Adif. No, Persume Nisa wins out. The Megillah is Persume Nisa, therefore you can't be mafsik, even though it's only d'Rabbanan. What's the first side of the suffix? Kriyashma is d'Oraisa, and you can be mafsik, Kol Shekein d'Rabbanan. What's Kriyashma d'Oraisa, and you can be mafsik? According to the Ramban, first pasuk is d'Oraisa. You can't be mafsik in the first pasuk. Doesn't matter who's walking by. So what has the Ramban reason this Gemara? According to the other Rishonim, it's okay. So you can be mafsik after the first pasuk, before the first parsha. If the first pasuk before the second parsha, be mafsik. Maybe between certain psukim. Different. Beinah prakim, but not in the first pasuk.
According to
the Ramban, right? For the Ramban, this is a very problematic Gemara.
According to the Ramban,
exactly. According to the Ramban, according to all the other Rishonim, it's okay. But according to the Ramban, how does he read this Gemara? Third question. You can't be machalik between Shema and Baruch Shem. Can't be machalik. Can't be mafsik there. So how do you answer all these questions? So the suggestion is made by the Nitziv. The Nitziv is the one that answers up all these questions. I gave it to you from the words of the Stipler. The Stipler in source number 8 quotes this problem on the Ramban in source number 8. And then continuing in source number 9, the Stipler quotes the Nitziv, where the Nitziv says in the Hemek She'ela, turning the page in source number 9, that a tziv says as follows, following beautiful idea, and that is, whenever the Torah gives a minimum amount, a minimum shear of a mitzvah, I have the ability to expand that mitzvah and add on to it. Right? For example, says the Nitziv, let's read the Nitziv's words. Says the disciples' words, how he categorizes and formulates the Nitziv. Third line of source number 9. V'tochen dvarv. Dinehi d'lishmo yotze gam b'pasuk echad mitzvahs v'dibarta b'am mikal makom kol shema'arich v'kore yoser b'shvil mitzvahs v'dibarta b'am havi hakol b'chlal ha-mitzvah u'kishe posek havi mafsik b'mitzvah d'oraisa. Says the Nitziv, if the Torah says to do a mitzvah in a minimal way, if I choose to do it in a maximal way, that's still considered all the mitzvah. And it all is called the mitzvah. It's not minimal plus extra. It all has the status of the mitzvah. So according to the Ramban, says the Nitziv, yes, Kriya Shema minimally is the first pasuk. But if I choose to expand it and say the first parasha and say the second parasha, it's all called the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema. It wasn't mechuyev, but it's a kiyum of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema. The kol mitzvah shlonina bo Torah shir as kol mash adam osik bo kol mash mitzvah. It's all considered part of the mitzvah. Says the Nitziv, that's the pshat of Kriya Shema according to the Ramban. Say other achronim, the Levush in source 10, that's the pshat of shofar on Rosh Hashanah. How can we blow more shofar as Tosfos, Bal Tosif? No. If you do a mitzvah in a minimal way, you have the right to expand it. And it's all called the mitzvah d'oraisa of tkiya shofar. That's why we try not to be mafsik. Why aren't we mafsiking, Rabbi, on most of our Rosh Hashanah? We ready, Yosef! We got the first 30. Why do we care? Get all 100. Because we want all of that to be nigra, to be part of the mitzvah. If I need to be mafsik, I'm mafsik. If somebody misses a kol, so they're Yosef, if they heard the first 30. But l'chadchila, knowing the shita of the Nitziv, knowing the shita of the Levush in source number 10, it's all part of the mitzvah. V'od says that the Levush in source 10 lived a little bit after the Ramah. Da'atu yom trua pam echad ksiv. Yom trua yelachem stam ksiv. A little different, but that's this basic idea. This is a day of blowing. So whatever you blow today, so what? That there's a minimum that Chazal assumed the Torah meant. But it's a day of blowing. So everything you blow on this day, biyom tala rachmana v'afilu kama pam sheyirtu, biyom zem mashma. El sheyosef v'pamachas v'yoser inu tzarech. You yosef one time. But that's the minimum, but there is no Bal Tosef. So this is Rosh Hashanah, this is Shofar, this is Kriya Shema, and this is our case in Kachim, if you think about it. Why? What was our original question? Our original question was, the Gemara in Zvachim says that if you're doing an avoda that is not ma'akev the kapara, then it's not such an important avoda, and therefore if you have a thought during that time, it's not going to cause problems to the karbon, but we have three examples that it's true. If you do extra, if you do all the blood of the animal, if you catch, or if you do a little extra shechita, the miyat basra, or if you do halacha that you didn't need to do, so then it still could have a problematic thought. Pigle works there. The answer is, in all those three cases, you're not doing a total avoda that is unneeded. Like shvicha shirayim, pouring the leftover blood on the mizbeach. That's a totally extra avoda, and therefore it's excluded. If you think during that avoda, it's not going to cause problems. But by all three of the examples that we gave, you're thinking about pigle during an avoda that's needed. It's just that you chose to do the avodah a little extra, in a little expanded way. You want to be makabel all the dam. You want to do shechita of both simanim totally. You want to do extra. If you're choosing to do extra, but the avodah inherently is ma'akev the kapara. So therefore we could say it has the status of that avodah. Just like any mitzvah d'oraisa. If I choose to do it in an expanded way, it's expanded. Masha enkein, if it's an avodah totally is separate than kapara, like shvicha shirayim, like burning of the fats overnight, which is not ma'akev, just like tefilas arvis rishus, right? That's where that comes from. So therefore, it would not be a problem. So that is the answer that is given for Kriya Shema, for shofar, for our case, and one other. And with this we will finish up part one of our discussion. And that is something that we discussed in a Shabbos Shuva drasha, Shabbos Hagadol drasha in the past, and that is matzah. Matzah on the night of the Seder. We all know that the beginning of the Seder, beginning of the meal, Shulchan Aruch, we all say, Wonderful. We said the birchas ha-mitzvah on eating matzah. What's the mitzvah of matzah that night? We eat a lot of matzah. Right, so what's the mitzvah of matzah? Which, will the real matzah mitzvah please step forward? So which is the real mitzvah? So basically two choices. Not the matzah dipping in the soup during the meal. I don't think anybody would say that if you eat kebrachos. Right, but there are two other choices. It's either the first kezayis that I'm eating, or the first two kezayisim if I'm machmir to hold two kezayisim, or the last kezayis, the afikomen, what we call the afikomen. It's a machlokas rishonim. It's an important machlokas to know. Pesach. What kavan am I supposed to have? Right? Usually we're like, pushing ourselves to get that afikomen in. Right? They're like, okay, this is, like, we're all big hotshots at the beginning of the Seder. Yeah, I'll hold this year. Like 14 matzahs. Yeah, this is a kezayis. By the time we get to the, to afikomen, it's like, yeah, this is, I think this is enough here. Right? That's, as much as I can fit in. Right? But we have to make sure that, we save room. We save room. So, it's a machlokas. The Rashbam and Rashi. Rashi HaKadosh. Rashi says the Iker Mitzvah is the afikomen. That's the Iker Mitzvah of matzah. Rashi and the Rashbam. I gave it to you in source number 12 as Rashi. Rashi says, "Vizuhi matzah betzua shanu ochlen ba'achrona l'shem chovas matzah osa." Right, the shem chovas matzah—that's the ikker. We have to say the bracha of alachilas matzah at the beginning because that's the rule. If you're going to eat the same item earlier, you have to say the berachas mitzvah earlier. Just like what did the Mishnah Rishonim say? Just like, let's say I only had maror at the Seder night. That's the only vegetable I had. I didn't have any separate vegetable for karpas. I only had horseradish. So I have to eat the horseradish for karpas also. So you know what? The halacha is that when you eat the karpas, you say halachilas mora then. Just like by matzah. Because whenever you eat the same item you can eat later, you gotta say the berachas mitzvah. But the real mitzvah is later. So Rashi and the Rashbam both say the mitzvah is later. The Rosh, source 13, Siman Lama Dalet, says, no, what are you talking about? The mitzvah is right away. The mitzvah is the first kezayis that you eat. That's the Rosh. The Tamahani at the end, Lama Osim Kricha Mitchila, talks about it, Hilkanir Ali, the Osa Matzah, Eino Lashem Chova, Ela Ochlen Osa Zechel Pesach, Shreinechal Alasova Machrona. The Korech and later on, it's still Zechel Pesach, but the Iker is the beginning. So the Machlokas, right, the Poskim discussed this as Machlokas, Rashi and Tosafot versus the Rosh. The Rambam Shita is not clear. On the one hand, the Rambam, the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that the Rambam holds that it's like Rashi and the Rashbam. You look in the Aruch HaShulchan in Source 14, V'chein Yerali Milash and the Rambam, Shekasav de Ba'achrona Ochel Mi B'Bsar HaPesach, U'Bizman Hazeh Ochel Kazayis Matzah, She'achilasan Hi HaMitzvah. Its eating is a mitzvah. Talking about the Afikomen. Sounds pretty clear. The problem is, he doesn't mention Heseba when he talks about Afikomen. Some say, and it's not 100% clear, Achilasan hi mitzvah. So if Sternbach says, if you look closely at the Rambam's Lashon, he's saying exactly Ar Netziv's Chiddush by Shofar and by Kriyashma and what we're saying by Kutchin. What's the Rambam's Lashon? Look at the Rambam's Lashon. He quotes it at the beginning of Source 15. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah. Mitzvah asay min haTorah le'achol matzah b'leil chamisha asar. It's a mitzvah asay to eat matzah on the night of the 15th. She'ne'amar b'erev tochlu matzah. It says, eat matzah. B'chol makom b'chol zman. Oh, any place at any time. U'mishachal kezayis yotzi de'chovaso. When you ate a kezayis, you're yotzi de'chovaso. Answer Sternbach. It's a very, quote-unquote, chas v'shalom, I mean this in the best way, clumsy lashon. Right, chas v'shalom, I don't mean that. I'm just saying on the surface. What did the Rambam say? It's a mitzvah d'imata tonight. And when you ate a kezayis, you've eaten enough. Why did he just say, it's a mitzvah to eat a kezayis of matzah tonight? What do you mean it's a mitzvah to eat? And when you eat a kezayis, enough. It says of Sternbach, no, it's beautiful. The Rambam is saying, it's a mitzvah d'imata tonight, period. Any matzah that I eat tonight is part of the mitzvah, Berev Tochlu Matzos. That's it. That's the mitzvah. Anything I eat. Once I eat a kezayis, that I'm yotzei, meaning that's the minimum. But the first line of the Rambam is, any matzah that I eat, I will be yotzei with my mitzvah. Harei, kishabir l'chadchila ikra mitzvah z'achilas matzah l'chamisha asar, once he first says it, lo pireshir kezayis. He didn't say kezayis at the beginning. How much do you have to eat? Umashma, debechoma sheocha b'la seder mekayim mitzvah say. Anything you eat, you'll be mekayim the mitzvah. Ta ha mitzvah lecha b'la tesvah matzah, vein b'tora shir. Everything you eat, you're right. There's a minimum, what's called an achila. But really, you could do it in an expanded way. So far we have had, I think, four contexts where we have an idea of, you could do avodos in the minimal way, shrita, kabbalah, holacha, or in an expanded way. You could do kriya shma, you could do shofar, and you could do matzah. But we could also do it in a maximal way. And once I do it in that maximal way, it has the status of the mitzvah, the status of the mitzvah daraisa. Okay, part two. How do we know this is true? Then it's Tzivs Chiddush. How do we know that we have this right? The Torah tells us to do a mitzvah. And Chazal say to eat matzah. What's the definition of eating? Achil is always kazayis. So how do we know that this is allowed? Maybe if I do, let's say I eat a lot of matzah, why should it be? Is there a source in the Torah? Is there a concept in the Torah that this is a model that this is based on? Maybe I should say, the mitzvah is the mitzvah, this is extra. Why are you carrying the lulav the whole day? You ready, Yotzei? Okay, it's nice what you're doing. It's not the mitzvah. You're being a good Jew, you're thinking about the lulav. But man, who says that it should be, who says that it should be all included in the mitzvah after all? Look what the Mishnah says. We all know the Mishnah. The first Mishnah, Peya, says the Mishnah in Surah 17. Elu dvarim she'ein lahem shiur. The following mitzvahs do not have a shiur. Peya, Bikurim, Rayon, right, leaving the corner of a field, Kimilas Chasadim, Talmud Torah, right, certain mitzvahs that don't have any shiur. So what's mashva? That all other mitzvahs have a shiur. All other mitzvahs have a shiur. Meaning, if I try to do, but we're saying now, if I do more than a shiur, right, so what do you mean? Only these mitzvahs have a shiur. The Rishma, I gave you the Mefarshim, the Rambam, the Mishnah Bishona, on the Mishnah talk about, aren't certain things left out. Right, the Rambam says, Yesh Ramachayim Shein Lam Shir, other things also don't have a shiur. Could go and offer sota, that how much dirt do you have to mix in the sota water to peel before you give her? How much dirt from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash? Verok Yavama, how much she has to spit, the Efer Paraduma. There's certain things that also don't have a shiur. But the Rambam says the things that are listed are only items that don't have a shiur, that there's a mitzvah to give as much as you can. Right? There's no lachatfila to give more dirt in the sota water. There's peya, bikurim, all of those, the more the merrier. The Mishnah Rishona also discusses, what about tefila? According to the Rambam, tefila is a mitzvah daraisa. Could have a shiur on that on the one time. So according to the Rambam, why don't we say tefila, ilu dvarim she'ein lahem shiur, and the more you do the merrier, the more you daven. Why don't you say that? So he says, it doesn't say that because you're not supposed to daven the whole day. Right? The Gemara calls it chaye shah. Okay, so the Mefarshim discuss exactly some things that are excluded. But pashtus from this Mishnah is that there is a shear for certain mitzvos, but other mitzvos, there is no shear for these mitzvos, but other mitzvos do have a shear. So the question is, what's the source of this idea that we have been talking about that one could expand the form of a mitzvah?
The Nitziv says,
what does he say about Baal Tosef? Right, if you're trying to do a mitzvah in the wrong time, or if you're trying to add on to the object of a mitzvah,
it's considered that time anymore.
You're sitting in a sukkah after sukkahs.
Okay.
Right, sitting blowing shofar, l'shem mitzvah on Tzom Gedalia. Any of that is Baal Tosef. So any of those. So where does it come from? So maybe the source is a Gemara and a concept that we're all familiar with, But maybe that's really what's the source of this halacha. Says the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lama Gimel, the end of the Perek Rabboza Demila, in the 19th Perek. Ditanya, Ze Keli V'Anveyu, the pasuk we say every morning, this is my God and I will glorify him. What do we learn from that pasuk? We dash it for the word Anveyu, Hisna'e Lufana B'mitzvos. Be beautiful in front of God in mitzvos. Right, this is the source for the principle of hidur mitzvah, glorifying mitzvos. Asei lefanav sukkah na'a, lulav na'a, make a beautiful sukkah, beautiful lulav, shofar na'a, tzitzis na'a, sefer Torah na'a, it's cut off a little bit, the kasebo, the shmo, bidyona, make a use beautiful ink for the sefer Torah, right, all different types of items that there's a concept called of hidur mitzvah. Right? Hidur mitzvah, the concept of hidur mitzvah, glorifying a mitzvah. Step one. Step two. All the items listed in source 20 are one type of hidur mitzvah. They're all about the item. Objects of mitzvah. There's a concept of hidur mitzvah to beautify objects of mitzvah. Get a beautiful lulav. get a crown on top of the Sefer Torah. Right? All those are Hiddur mitzvahs. Right? Hiddur mitzvahs, beautiful. Get a beautiful sukkah, a beautiful shofar. Right? Number one. It's interesting. Does shofar now mean get a shofar that makes a beautiful sound? Because the mitzvah is the shmiyah. What does it mean? Just a beautiful looking shofar? Who cares what the shofar looks like? Shofar naya. Right? But sometimes it does. You get one of those huge ones and shul, you're like, oh, that's a shofar. Right? But that's the, that's shofar naya. So, okay, it's the concept of hiddur mitzvah. Rav Asher Weiss, though, points out that there's a second type of hiddur mitzvah. Rashi and the Rashbam both, in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim, talk about the Mishnah there. The Mishnah says that a person is not supposed to eat on Erev Pesach. Besides the regular din of not eating on every Shabbos and Erev Yontif, we're not supposed to have a Sudas Keva later in the day on Friday. I'm supposed to go into Shabbos and Yontif with an appetite, especially on Pesach. Supposed to go into the Seder with an appetite. Generally, it's not a problem, because even if we eat a lot, by the time we get to the meal, we're starving. But that's the halacha, lo yochal adam eshet echshach. You're not supposed to. Why? What's the unique idea of going into the Seder with a teavon, with an appetite? Says Rashi, right there on top, in source number 21, lo yochal kidei sheyochal matzah shel mitzvah leteavon mishum hidur mitzvah. Says Rashi, and the Rashbam also says it there. There's a hit because it makes the mitzvah beautiful. If you eat matzah when you're starving, that makes the you eat it with a more of a geschmack than if you're eating it when you're full. So hiddur mitzvah. What are you making beautiful there? There's no object of the mitzvah there. You're not making the matzah more beautiful. There's hiddur mitzvah in the maisa. We find a number of examples, and he quotes six examples in source number 22. Rashi Weiss quotes six examples of this other, less common type of hiddur mitzvah, not just hiddur mitzvah in objects, glorifying the mitzvah in objects, but glorifying the mitzvah in the act that one, in the act that one does. A number of examples given, where there's no chefs involves. So if you think about it, maybe our whole discussion of doing a mitzvah in an expanded way, maybe the roots of that is this din d'oraisa of hiddur mitzvah. Not hiddur mitzvah of the object, but it's all about what we're doing. But according to the second idea of hiddur mitzvah, you glorify the mitzvah in how you do it. So maybe that already opens the door to saying that doing a mitzvah in an expanded way, hiddur mitzvah doesn't have to be something separate. Hiddur mitzvah, and this is the discussion in the Achronim in hiddur mitzvah, which we'll bring one or two examples in a minute. But hiddur mitzvah already paves the way for us to do mitzvahs in an expanded way. If there's a concept of doing a mitzvah in a beautified way, it's not such a great jump to say that you can do a mitzvah in an expanded way and it's still connected to the mitzvah. Where do we see, even one step further, where do we see though that maybe hiddur mitzvah is something separate? There's a mitzvah and there's hiddur mitzvah something separate. How do we know that it's part and parcel? There's a link between the mitzvah and the hiddur mitzvah. And that then could be a precedent for our discussion of the expansion of the definition of the mitzvah itself. So there are a number of sources. I just gave you one. Right, it's quoted on the next page, Rav Soloveitchik in Rav Rechman Sefer from the Rav on Sukkah. So one of the first Rashi's in Lulav HaGazal. We'll know the third parak in Sukkah. Lulav HaGazal v'hayavish pasal. A dried out lulav is pasal. Question is why? Why is a dried out lulav pasal? So Rashi says, because you're missing hadar. Mizbeinon mitzvah muhuderes dechsiv v'anveyu. Right, there's no hadar. Preates hadar. It's got to be hadar. If it's dried out, it's not hadar. Ask Tosfos, since when you're missing hiddur mitzvah? Since when does that pasul the esrog? Okay, you didn't do hiddur mitzvah. You didn't beautify it. That's the pasul's the mitzvah? Say the Achronim, says Rav Soloveitchik, yes. Certain types of hiddur mitzvahs integrate into the mitzvah itself, and it's not called mitzvah plus hidura, but it's one concept of mitzvah bihidura. You're doing a mitzvah in a beautiful way, and the hiddur mitzvah becomes part and parcel of the mitzvah. It's a big discussion that comes up by Ner Chanukah and other places, but this is a concept that's clear. That's clear, a din d'oraisa of hiddur mitzvah, and it's clear in a various sources that at least some types of hidure mitzvah integrate into the mitzvah itself, becomes part, and according to Rashi, at least in this case, if you don't have the hidur mitzvah where the Torah demands it, it's ma'akev. Again, Dalamin might be unique, but at least this is a precedent. So maybe, Maybe this is part two of our shiur, is the whole basis for part one. Where do we see the Netziv's concept of doing a mitzvah in a minimal way, and you can expand it, in order to say that the whole thing is part of the definition of the mitzvah? So maybe that is based on the concept of hiddur mitzvah, and hiddur mitzvah integrating into the mitzvah itself. Okay, that's a suggestion, and it helps us, though, get an appreciation into the Gemara and Tzvachim about the avodos, doing avodos in an expanded way as well. Okay, we'll stop here. And Hashem, we will continue next week with another topic.